Welcome to another AAT podcast, following on from the podcast on PLMD preparation that you can access through your My AAT account. In this podcast, I want to help you first decide if you or your clients need to complete and submit the annual statutory returns forms P9D, P11D, and P11DB, and then to look at what has to be reported. The third and final in this series of podcasts for 2009-2010 will cover the calculation of the benefits. To begin then, let's consider what forms we have to submit. Form P9D is a return of expenses, payments, and income from which income tax cannot be deducted. It is very different to the P11D and only applies to employees earning at a rate of less than £8,500 per annum. This means that we rarely have to complete and submit P9D returns because the employees concerned either do not get expenses paid for them or get reimbursement of expenses, or their expenses will be covered by a P11D dispensation. The P11D is the form that we are most concerned with. It is a return of expenses, payments and benefits in kind, where typically employers are reporting company car and medical insurance benefits and should be reporting any expense payments not covered by a P11D dispensation. The final return, and one that is very important, is the dual purpose P11DB annual return of Class 1A National Insurance contributions due, and it is the return of expenses and benefits employer declaration. Once we've decided that any of these returns are required, we need to consider what expense payments and benefits in kind have to be reported, and then turn to the calculation of the amount to be reported. That is the cash equivalent of the expense payment or benefit in kind. The statutory deadline for submission of the 2009-10 forms P9D, P11D, and the P11DB return is the 6th of July 2010. And the deadline for payment of the Class 1A National Insurance contributions due is the 19th of July 2010, but extended to the 22nd of July if paid by an acceptable electronic payment method. As explained in more detail in the P11D preparation podcast, there are potentially significant penalties that will be charged if these statutory returns are submitted late and or there are errors in the amounts reported, plus interest will be charged on the late payment of Class 1A National Insurance contributions. So let's consider why we have to submit P11Ds, whether we do need to submit them, and then move on to look at what we have to do and how we calculate and report the expenses and benefits. Why are forms P11D and P9D required, and for who? Income tax is chargeable against emoluments of an office or employment, and that income includes all salaries, fees, wages, and perquisites and profits whatsoever by reason of the office or employment. Salaries, wages, fees, commissions, and bonuses are taxed at source through PAYE, and these earnings are reported to HMRC on the annual forms P35 and P14 at the end of the tax year. A perquisite, or a perk, is a benefit in kind received by reason of the employment. A profit could arise from the payment of expenses when an employee is paid for something that was not to cover a business expense, or the employee was perhaps paid more than was actually incurred. All expense payments are treated as part of an employee's employment income or taxable remuneration until such time as the payments are shown to have been incurred for business reasons only. This is why expenses and benefits have to be reported on forms P11D and P9D at the end of the tax year, and why employers sometimes get landed with big tax and NIC bills when HMRC employer compliance officers discover non-reporting of taxable expense payments and benefits on a PAYE or employer compliance review. Next, let me turn to who we have to complete the forms for. The regulations provide that P11Ds have to be submitted for directors and certain other persons in controlling positions, regardless of their remuneration level. But we can exclude full-time working directors and directors of charities and non-profit making concerns. Next, the regulations provide for employees, including directors who are excluded because they work for a charity or a non-profit making concern, when the employees of directors are paid at a rate of at least £8,500 a year. The £8,500 includes all expenses, payments and benefits before the deduction of any allowable expenses. But after approved company pension contributions that are deducted from gross salary and also givers you earn donations. I will discuss PLMD completion in some detail, but for those employees whose remuneration is less than at a rate of £8,500 in a tax year, they may still require forms P9D to be returned on their behalf by an employer. We do not need to report expenses solely and necessarily incurred in the performance of the duties or for other expenses that do not exceed £25. Employees' own national insurance contributions and personal telephone bills paid by the employer should be reported at Box 15. Also, gifts in kind, anything bought for or paid to the employee other than at market value, and anything else not included elsewhere. Section B of the P9D covers vouchers and credit cards, including the excess of any childcare vouchers over the £55 tax-free limit, travel and transport vouchers, gift, meal and any other vouchers not exchangeable for cash. Cash vouchers should have gone through the payroll with PAYE being applied. Section C of the P9D covers accommodation benefit, where you must provide the address, rateable value, rent and insurance paid, and the cash equivalent of the accommodation provided. These amounts are to be entered in Box 14. Section 3. Reporting requirements and exclusions. Employers are required to report all expenses and benefits provided to employees and directors, or indeed to members of their family or households, where this is provided by virtue of their employment. That means that we also have to include costs met directly by the employer, and that reporting is not restricted to amounts actually reimbursed to employees. Although Form P9D invites employers to exclude expenses solely and necessarily incurred in the performance of the duties, there is no similar provision covering P11Ds. We have to report everything that is not specifically covered by an exclusion, including dispensations. Employers do not have to complete and submit nil P11Ds for directors or employees who have had no expenses or benefits paid or provided to or for them. Remember that any items included in a P11D dispensation and anything dealt with through a PAYE settlement agreement or a taxed award scheme can also be excluded from the form P11D and P9D. We must also remember to tell the directors and employees they do not have to report these expense payments or benefits on their self-assessment tax returns. Chapter 5 of the HMRC Booklet 480, Expenses and Benefits, a Tax Guide, provides a lot more help and guidance on items to be excluded. Some of these include office accommodation, supplies or services. And then we have exempt items, providing the conditions for exemption are satisfied, such as job-related living accommodation, long service awards, late-night taxis, parking spaces at or near the place of work, job-related training expenses, payments towards additional household costs of employees who work at home. And then we have some extra statutory concessions where the payments do not have to be reported. The advice is to look at Chapter 5 of the booklet 480. Employers must provide each employee with a statement of the information shown on the P11D by the 6th of July 2010 reporting deadline. There is also a reporting requirement for any third-party providers of expenses or benefits to report such details, unless they've dealt with the expense payment or benefit through a taxed award scheme. There is no set format for the information to be provided to directors and employees. Employers could choose to provide a copy of the P11D, or a company memo or email, or anything that provides the necessary information. Employers using P11D software, like the PKF P11D software that I use, will probably have employee advice sheets to send out to the employees. More help is available from HMRC in the form of its four-page P11D guide And there is my favourite booklet, the CWG5, where Appendix 1 Common Benefits will tell you whether the expense payment is liable to Class 1 or Class 1A National Insurance contributions, or if it's not liable, and it will also tell you where on the form P11D you should report the item. Section 4, Class 1 or Class 1A NICs. The P11D is a two-page statutory return of expense payments and benefits in kind, beginning with details of the employer and employee, followed by sections A to N for the reporting of the taxable benefits. Some sections have brown Class 1A boxes that must be totaled to arrive at the amount of the employer's Class 1A NIC's liability. Other sections are blue boxes, which means that there is no Class 1A National Insurance Contribution liability. However, there might be a Class 1 NIC's liability, say on the provision of a voucher or the payment of a personal liability of the employee or director. The front page of the P11D highlights in brown writing below the Works Number Department box that employers pay Class 1A National Insurance contributions on most benefits. These are shown in boxes which are brown and have a Class 1A indicator. Sections B, C, E, M, and N are the blue boxes that do not attract Class 1 NICs and might involve a missed Class 1 NIC liability. Section M is the only dual-choice section on the P11D, where we can choose Class 1A liability using the brown box option or decide to use the blue box option with no Class 1A NIC. Perhaps the most obvious example is the payment of school fees by the employer, highlighted on the P35, to give employers an early warning. Only if there's a contract between the employer and the supplier of the services, the school, should the relevant amount be entered in the brown box, because it is then a benefit in kind. In contrast, where the employer is merely paying the school fees on behalf of the director or employee, the relevant amount should be entered in the blue box of Section M. A common error made by some employers is to assume that the reporting of such a payment on the P11D, where a specific box has been provided, is the end of the matter. But it isn't, and employers and their advisors need to recognise that the blue box entries on the P11D potentially give rise to a Class 1 National Insurance Contribution liability that might require a payroll adjustment. Another employer payment that might similarly be missed is private medical insurance, perhaps when an employee has their own insurance and the employer reimburses that cost instead of providing the benefit through a company scheme. It is only appropriate to report the benefit at Section I of the P11D if the contract is between the employer and the medical insurance company, as opposed to the reimbursement of the employee's personal liability. Section 5, Calculating the Benefit and Making Good. The general rule for calculating the value of P11D expense payments and benefits is that the cash equivalent or value is the cost to the employer or to any other third-party provider. There are some exceptions to the general rule, where specific legislation already applies the benefit rules to all employees, including live-in accommodation, vouchers, car and fuel benefit charges, and company van charges. P11Ds are to be reported on a tax year-end basis and cannot be based on the employer's accounting period, although that might be easier. An employer with an accounting period of, say, 31st of December would have to apportion the expense payments to be reported so that the accounting period ended 31st of December 2009 would be apportioned for 9/12 between April to December 2009. The following accounting period to 31st of December 2010 would have the expenses apportioned for 3 months between January and March 2010. HMRC are quite content to accept PLMDs reported on the basis of the year to 31st of March, as opposed to the year from 6th of April to the following 5th of April. All P11D values must be reported on a VAT-inclusive basis, irrespective of whether the employer can recover any part of the VAT content of the expense payment or benefit in kind. We are required to include details of any amount made good by the director or employee or from which income tax was deducted under pay-as-you-earn. The taxable benefit to be included on the P11D return should be restricted to the net cash equivalent, and by that I mean the gross figure less the amount paid by the employee or made good. Report in then the net figure in the appropriate box. Be warned, however, that HMRC's P11D quality standard requires that we include all three entries on the P11D. In other words, the gross figure, the amount made good, and the net figure. You will need to make a corresponding adjustment to the total benefits reported on Form P11DB if you are entering an amount from which tax has been deducted under PAYE, where the benefit is liable to Class 1A National Insurance contributions. And the timescale for making good should be reasonably short. HMRC was successful in resisting a claim to allow amounts made good long after the end of the tax year in the impact foiling case. HMRC guidance on making good car fuel in its employment income manual says, in many instances, the making good required by the employment income manual 23780 is completed by the end of the tax year. But you will find cases where making good does not occur until after the end of the tax year. This may be where mileage records and repayments in the final months of the year take a little time to process. You can accept this as meeting the terms of the legislation, provided final settlement is made without unreasonable delay. I repeat, therefore, that the timescale for making good should be reasonably short. Section 6, submitting the forms. The first podcast in this 2009-10 series covered the important issues related to the preparation for submission of forms P9D, P11D, and P11DB. This podcast has dealt with the important aspects of P11D reporting and submission. You will need to listen to the third and final podcast in the series, which will cover the calculation of the cash equivalent of the expense payments and benefits in kind to be reported. Once you've completed your preparation, analysed all the various costs, excluded items that do not have to be reported, and calculated the value of expense payments and benefits to be reported, the next step will be submission of the forms and payment of the Class 1A National Insurance contributions. As I have already said, the deadline for submission of the 2009-10 forms P9D, P11D, and the P11DB return is the 6th of July 2010. The deadline for the payment of the Class 1A National Insurance contributions due is the 19th of July 2010, but extended to the 22nd of July if paid by an acceptable electronic payment method. Perhaps the final question is, how are we to submit the P11Ds? Unlike the PAYE annual returns, P35 and P14, there is no statutory requirement to submit forms P9D, P11D, or P11DB online. That is an option, and one that I personally prefer. And I can manage this easily through the PKF P11D software. Most P11D software should have the added advantage of avoiding us making errors that could lead to the P11Ds being rejected by HMRC because of its quality standard. If you intend to use paper P11D returns or submit P11Ds in schedule format, be sure to look at the quality standard and perhaps get someone else to at least proofread the P11Ds or schedules before you submit them to HMRC. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast. I hope that the series of three podcasts on P11Ds for 2009-10 will prove to be useful to you. I hope to see some of you at the P11D CPD courses in Birmingham on the 8th of May and London on the 15th of May. Thank you.